All right, I think also we've come off to a great start. We got macro, and then we got micro, and now we're really digging in on the association side and really talking about some of the great bodies that, all right, I should be careful there. I've got a terrible body. Sam, you should be over here now. These organizations are all dedicated to our industry and also dedicated to their members to provide value, obviously. Provide worth in the industry from a body perspective, and also to really set the standards and show us where we're going as an industry and give people guidelines, roadmaps, best practices, true standards. So I've got a great set of panelists. We're going to start by introducing ourselves. I'll start with you, John. You got the hot seat next to me. And also be sure to talk a little bit also about your constituency as well and what NABID does.
So my name is John Lee. I'm the chairman of North American Broadcast Association's Technical Committee. NABA is a broadcast union comprised of broadcasters in Canada, the United States, and Mexico. All the major broadcasters are members. It's one of seven broadcast unions around the world. I think people have heard of the EBU. There are five others, Asia Pacific, Arab States, Caribbean, and several others, which form the World Broadcasting Unions. We've been active in cybersecurity for about 5 years, and I can talk a little further about what we've done, but that's sort of my background.
And we will. Jason?
Hi, I'm Jason Tebow. I'm the executive director of the Streaming Video Alliance. So we're an industry organization that popped up around 5 years ago, serving the ecosystem of streaming video. So we have broadcasters and network operators like Verizon and Sky, and we have content owners like Comcast and Disney and Fox. We have technology companies that support streaming video, like security vendors like your Dedo and Friend MTS and Niagara. And then we also have service providers like the CDNs. So, I mean, what we're really focused on is best practices and guidelines to help the industry navigate the tough challenges of delivering a great video experience. So we know that lots of our members and constituents, they understand how to stream, but the problem is producing an experience that's consistent for the end user, and that maximizes the technical expertise that we have in the industry today. So people are kind of putting together streaming services in many cases that are stitched together with bubblegum and Band-Aids because they have a business model to get the content out, right? They've got to generate revenue, and so they're doing it whatever way they can. And sometimes they leave things off the table, like security, or they don't do it as well as they could, or they don't do it as great as Hulu did it or Netflix did it. And so we try to bring that kind of information and knowledge into guidelines, best practices, functional requirements, technical specifications that we publish out, available to everybody, in the industry.
And we're fond of the bubblegum. We use duct tape instead of Band-Aids, but similar, patching it together and trying to make it work. Mark?
Hi, I'm Mark Harrison. I'm the MD of DPP. DPP is the Media Industries Business Network. We have around 400 member companies that come from the whole supply chain, which is the unusual thing about us as an industry organization. So we have all the global tech giants, Apple and Google and Microsoft and Amazon, and then lots of broadcasters, most of the North American ones and all the UK ones, and then a range of suppliers, manufacturers, service providers, and then a lot of production companies and digital agencies as well. So we span the whole chain, and what we do is we bring those customers and suppliers together to solve problems and to create business opportunities.
Wonderful, thank you, Mark. Sam, last but not least, we're in your house.
And welcome. So we're glad that you were here, and glad that there's this great audience for the NAB show, but in particular for this discussion of content protection and really cybersecurity. So I'm the CTO of the NAB, and I would say that we really got active. You heard from Admiral Simpson earlier, and I was on something called CISRIC, the Communication Security Reliability and Interoperability Council. And that was an FCC advisory council that comprised lots of different telecommunications companies and operators. And we really saw the importance of what was happening in that committee and the focus that Admiral Simpson was bringing into cybersecurity. And so at that point, we said, all right, we're going to get more active as well. We already had
a convening function where we would bring together our radio engineers, our television engineers. More recently, we started with our digital officers. Those are people that are focused on websites, social, mobile type operations, because really broadcasters today are really multi-platform digital media companies. And because of all of this increased connectivity and sort of the migration to IP, we said it's going to be important for us to be active in cyber as well, because that's certainly something that's going to impact our members, their brands, and their operations.
Well, it's interesting, and it's a great place to start, right? We'll kind of start where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. That's what we talked about on the panel prep call. You know, we've always focused on copyright. We've always focused on IP protection and traditional content security. And obviously, in the good old days, the physical days, we had a lot of real physical barriers that were difficult. You know, it's not everybody can develop film or, you know, at the time, you know, VCRs, whatever it ends up being, right? But the idea of us being in this very fluid, cyber-related environment, you know, this is also for NAVA and NAB particularly, right? Where do you feel that the shift started? I mean, is this something also that you saw gradually happen? I mean, we've worked on this show a couple of years because we noticed that we needed to focus on cyber itself. But where was it an evolution? Was it natural? Were new people brought in and said, hey, this is a big problem that we need to deal with?
I think it was a combination of several hacks in our industry, like our keynote talked about TV Saint-Monde, of course, Sony and others. I think that caused a lot of interest. And for us, as I mentioned, we started in cyber about 5 years ago. We had a very successful cybersecurity symposium in 2016 that was extremely well attended. And after that, we created a cybersecurity subcommittee that came up with recommendations that have been enacted. So it was the amount of attacks we were receiving in our industry coupled with the need to actually take action.
Yeah, and Sam, obviously, you know, you have thousands of broadcast stations. You know, is this something also that has that you've seen with your constituency as something that's evolving? We talked about advanced persistent threat for a few years. Obviously, you know, Sony was a very prime example of something like that going awry. But yeah, I'm also thinking in a broader community sense from an anyway.
Well, yeah, and I think it also extends because broadcasters are active on so many platforms these days. I mean, because you're on social media and you're maintaining accounts perhaps on, you know, 2, 3, 4 or more different platforms. You have threats coming at you that, yes, they could be to your core operations or your studio to transmitter links or things of that nature, but they're also, you know, that presence is extending to new places, and whether that is Facebook or Twitter, or just go back even further and just say your websites. You know, stations have websites, and so those are new opportunities for you know, A, to reach audiences, but B, to be attacked and be compromised. And so as those types of operations have proliferated, it's gained a lot of importance, and that goes without getting into stuff like SMPTE 2110 and the migration of that core architecture from an SDI environment to an IP environment.
Sure. And Mark and Jason, obviously you have digital and streaming in your titles, right? So you're obviously, you're on the newer track, right? But you're also, you don't necessarily have to carry any of the that physical baggage from the past. So
right, but you know, the thing that took us into this area, because we're by no means ever seen ourselves as being experts around security, was actually the word trust, okay? And what we found was that a lot of our member companies who, you know, had really great new web-based services and tools that they were trying to offer to production couldn't sell them. And they just like, they were mystified. It's like, well, this is made for you. Why are you just not interested? And what we found was that actually production didn't trust them. And there's a lot in that word. So it's not just about security, it's about a whole bunch of things.
Yes.
And you know, it's all about evolving culture. But partly it was the perception that if they gave their assets to these companies, they would get lost or stolen. And so we found that was coming from the bottom up through production. At the same time, we were also hearing from a lot of suppliers and broadcasters that they were getting really fed up with the fact that in the broadcaster supplier ecosystem, the kind of attention being paid to security was highly variable in the supplier community. And a strong sense, you know, amongst suppliers themselves, there were some suppliers who were kind of letting the side down. And there needs to be some way of suppliers just being able to demonstrate that they were committed to the basics.
Yeah, no, I mean, from our perspective, you know, obviously a lot of our members are, you know, they have an encumbrance in the past. So, you know, for, you know, Fox has been a broadcaster forever, you know, Sinclair Broadcasting Group's a member. So we have, you know, members that have been in that past, but they've embraced digital. And so now they're looking at, okay, we've got this problem of, we have all this old stuff and this content and security measures to keep that secure, but now we're releasing it via this, again, that fluidity of the IP channel, and how do we protect it from, you know, getting stolen? And so they know they have to go that direction, they have to give that content to consumers in the way that they want it, but they're just struggling with, you know, what do we use to secure this completely? And can we even understand all of the different use cases, right? Can we manage to cover 99% of the bases to make sure that content doesn't get stolen? And are we okay with losing 1% of our revenue to theft, right? Because can you completely stop theft? I mean, if somebody wants to steal something, they're gonna steal it. But that's the issue that we're facing in the digital space and the streaming space is, you know, how do you layer things into your workflow so that you don't complicate the delivery of the content to the consumer, so you don't add latency to it, especially for live streaming. And, you know, obviously with sports and rights holders, that's a huge issue right now. So they're walking this line of, listen, we, you know, we come from the past, we got all this stuff, you know, secured, now we're in the future and we're delivering digitally and we don't quite know what to do. So is it watermarking? Is it DRM? Is it a combination of both? You know, how do we control access to the network? And so it's you know, that's what we're trying to deal with, you know, especially in our privacy and protection working group is, you know, the member companies that are there are really trying to figure out what is the, you know, best practices that the whole industry can use to reduce theft to a minimum.
Yeah. Oh, and it's interesting because acceptable risk really is what we're talking about, right? How much are we willing in? And of course, you know, we do have some streaming companies who think that it is acceptable to be able to share some of these things out early because it generates buzz. I remember hearing a lot of those early arguments like, oh yeah, we quasi-leak that to get the buzz going, which is also dangerous. But ultimately, it's our responsibility as all of our organizations, CDSA included, the trusted partner network as well, but to really enculturate everybody across the chain. Because I was also, you know, in terms of my question, you know, is this a top-down or is it a bottom-up? And I think also by stating that you have such a broad base and that they recognize these things on their own as part of their own risk management strategies around their own internal operations, you know, we have to utilize our bodies to get a consistent message out to all of our members. And I think, you know, when we talk about your privacy working group, you know, Sam, I know you've been working a lot on that. Everybody here has programs going on, and I thought we'd take a moment just to talk about a couple of those.
So we've got a very diverse membership in terms of both radio and television broadcasters, but also very large companies that are very sophisticated. And, you know, they have CISOs, they have, you know, the infrastructure to do a lot of the very difficult work. But we also have smaller companies who are maybe not as well-heeled in their ability to address these things. So one of the things that we wanted to try and do was just provide a level set. And so we developed a set of cybersecurity courses that are available through the NAB website. So if you just go to nab.org, you can find it there. We have a learning management system, and these are online classes. Admiral Simpson talked about cyber hygiene, and one of the classes we have is an online course, and it's just the basics of, you know, and it's suitable for everybody in your organization. But it uses broadcaster types of role playing, if you will. So they should be very relatable and understandable scenarios that broadcasters would get. We have another class that is really targeted to the executive level. And what do you as a manager or a senior leader in your organization need to know? And then we also have a 6-course certification program that's really targeted at engineers and what they need to know. And so this has sort of been our, and we deployed them in that order. And that's sort of been our first foray into offering these types of education in hopes of, putting, giving everybody the opportunity to have, a minimum standard of education as it's related to cybersecurity.
And it doesn't even also necessarily need to be an LMS, right? So I know that NAVA worked with DPP on a certain set of standards and guidelines that turned into you and Mark could speak a little bit to the genesis of that and where it evolved to.
Yeah, that work started in 2015. It was a document on recommendations, not requirements, but recommendations for media vendor software systems and services. I think we all talked about the vendor community. What do we want to tell them about cyber? So this is sort of a checklist. And so you attach it to RFPs, RFIs, statement of works. You get your vendor to respond. And it doesn't qualify or disqualify anybody. It just gives you information about how mature they are in certain areas of cybersecurity. That has since been adopted by the seven unions. So it's now a world broadcasting set of recommendations available to all hundreds and hundreds of broadcasters around the world. The second piece we did was to Sam's point, was on hygiene. It was a set of six controls that, according to the audit industry, would mitigate 70% of cyber threats to the enterprise or to you as a broadcaster. And it doesn't cost a lot of money, it's the basics. But it was the first document that we worked with the DPP on that, with Mark. I don't know if you want to continue.
Yeah, and then, what we did was to take that very simple list. The clever thing that the neighbor had done is that they had they kind of really reduced the kind of list of requirements for suppliers in the broadcast domain to a manageable set of controls. So we looked at whether we could do the same for the production environment, found that we could. And then came up with something called the Committed to Security Program, which actually is a mark that that production houses and suppliers, and in fact even broadcasters, can apply for, which is a self-assessment framework, but does have a random audit process sitting behind it, which Eurofins Digital Testing does for us, and so it's free to our members, it's minimal cost to those who aren't our members. And when you get this badge, it demonstrates to the community that you do follow basic good practice around cybersecurity.
And Jason, in terms of, you said you had a privacy working group is now, and understandable that these things evolve from a constituency perspective. And it's interesting, Mark, because you talked about controls, and so often, we have such great outside of category examples that we try to interpret and apply to our industry. And I think ultimately we all know that this industry is unique, right? Obviously high value. Some people think it's, definitely critical infrastructure when you get down to the news level. But we're also challenged by kind of legacy workflows and time kind of to market. How quickly do we need to do things? And I was thinking about also your example in the live sports and the streaming market. Sometimes these things need to be moldable and malleable, not from the core control perspective, but iterations of those controls. And the idea that we can have something that is that snapshot in time assessment, of course, people are going to have to make their own risk calculations and risk assessments when they choose any vendor or any partner in their supply chain. But having those backbones are critical. And of course, speaking on that same, one of the exercises we did was also mapping back and forth, whether it's whether it's internal standards or also looking out into what other FedRAMP, whatever you want to do. There's du jour, tons of du jour. But I'm curious also if there's work going on also at Streaming Video Alliance, looking at that from that particular streaming perspective.
I mean, so it's really weird, right? So you have a network. So you've got, your behind the scenes infrastructure, and you've got your CISO, and you've got your policies and procedures, and you're auditing, and you're doing everything to protect your network. And then you turn streaming on. Like, that's like a big giant green beacon in the world to say, like, come penetrate my network. Right, so you're it's opening it up. So we don't necessarily look at all of that back-end infrastructure. We assume, like, I mean, some of our member companies, like Amazon, right, super sophisticated, right? They know how to protect a network. They've got cybersecurity experts, and they've got leadership at that level, and so they're doing that protection. The problem is then engineers come on, and they're saying, hey, let's push some of this traffic out of our network. Let's let people connect to our network to consume traffic. And it just opens up a whole other can of worms. And so what we're trying to deal with is that sort of latter part, that can of, the new can of worms that's being opened, right? How do you protect, you know, not only your content security, so making sure your content doesn't get stolen. In the screeners presentation before, I had some really great examples of stuff you can do, sort of multi-layered security. But then, you know, we're starting to look at, and we're starting to have discussions about what do you do to prevent that stream going to your network to get the content from going into your network to get the content, right? And then that becomes the big problem, is now you've got somebody there and content is, you know, there's nothing you can do to the content that's gonna protect it from being stolen at that point. So that's kind of what we're looking at, really the best practices around how do you control the outflow and what do you do to secure the content? And we're starting to maybe look at sort of how does that interplay with the rest of the cybersecurity, you know, strategy that a member company may have.
And what I loved about the very end was, we're also starting to look at data patterns. These are things also that 10 years, 50, you know, 10 years, somebody would come to you about around multi-factor authentication. Well, what is MFA, right? Right, 90% of our business, right? We try to be on the tip of the spear in terms of technology. People whisper things in meetings. Oh, yeah, check this out. But the reality is we have to be ahead of this curve. And one of the things that I thought was fascinating about that and where ultimately all of our constituencies come into play is the tremendous amount of data now that we have this entire interconnected environment. When you start looking at logging and start looking at anomalies or abnormal usage patterns, these are things that never really crossed our radar in the past and may have been more prone for, you know, like a retailer that had a massive point of sale system or something, right, where they could see odd things happening. But maybe, I know we only have like 5 minutes and I knew this would fly by, but maybe we could talk a little bit also about that whole data implication, because we're dealing with ones and zeros, whether it's, you know, streamed or, you know, thrown onto a thumb drive and sneaker netted, right? I mean, you know, ultimately, it's data in and around those activities. So I'm curious also how much that data plays into what you're thinking from an association perspective.
I mean, I'll jump in there. So the data is huge, right? So, for example, one of our founding members was BAMTech, and they obviously got purchased by Disney, now Disney Streaming Services. You know, they have a huge issue because they're dealing with rights holders like MLB, right? So they're trying to get content out there live, making sure that it's geo-blocked, making sure that it's, you know, that they're not cutting people off that should be. And they've got all this data coming in, and they actually have to resort sometimes to manual processes to look at, you know, anomalous behavior. Is this person sharing their credentials? So there's, you know, what we're looking at as an association is there an opportunity to apply new technologies like AI and ML to do some of the heavy lifting for them so that you don't have operations guys sitting and looking through data or, you know, even looking through, you know, alerted data. It's still a huge manual process that needs to be addressed. And so as an organization, we're looking at, are there ways to automate some of that at the edge? So maybe edge computing. Is there a way to do that in real time where, you know, an issue with potential theft could be cut off at the pass right away? It wouldn't take somebody looking at the data to notice what the problem was. The system would take care of that themselves.
So I kind of look at it a little bit differently in terms of what we're doing anyway. And that is that, as you look at all of the data that is collected and you look at what is taking place, a lot of our members are also competitors, right? And so they're not, they're not necessarily going to want to be sharing their data but I think that cybersecurity is a place where, much like in some of the engineering community, you, at a certain point, it's like, okay, we're all broadcasters. We all need to be on the air. We all need to be operating. And one of the things that we've done is formed a cybersecurity working group. And it's made up of the CISOs or the CTOs or CIOs or of our member companies. And we provided them with a safe forum where they can, you know, decide obviously what they want to share with one another, but they can talk about some of these issues that are affecting everybody or could potentially affect everybody, and give them a safe forum in which to exchange data or threat vectors or you know, what's going on, and to really try and help all of us be better as an industry.
I think that's important also, sorry, because you're talking also kind of about community. And you know, whether you're at the top trickling down or the bottom trickling up, that community piece is so critical. John, you were going to say something.
Just going to make a quick comment about ATSC 3.0, that great new television standard that just has come out and is being implemented. It's got a return channel where broadcasters can finally gather data or use it to gather data on audience viewing habits or whatever. So in the past, broadcasters have not been as concerned as they might have been about controlling external data. Now they have to be, because that information is very, very critical to a lot of their operations, and it will be under attack, I would think.
Yeah, and honestly, the other thing also around that data, because it's the way that APIs work, right? It could just be one little data point that is the shareable. You know, I talked in my opening address, and I know some of you weren't here before, about perceived competitive advantages and how it's important for us to make sure that we keep discussing these perceived competitive advantages, because sometimes technology allows them to erode away. We've got like 1 minute left, so just as a quick close, I'd love to go down the row and say, all right, one year from now, where would you like to see things evolve from your particular association constituency? I'll pick on you.
I would love for all of our members to take advantage of the courses that we've offered, because I think that's a very tangible thing that folks can do, and that's for members and non-members. But I would hope, if I'd said a year from now, that, you know, we'd have a good percentage of participation in that aspect of education.
Mark?
I think it's really important that we now start to kind of map the various certifications and standards and programs for the benefit of the community, because, you know, wow, there's a lot of industry organizations, and wow, there's an awful lot of these things around security at the moment, and understandably, you know, quite a lot of companies in the supply chain are kind of going, how do they relate to each other? And so I think it's really important that we all work together to map that out, so that we can all, you know, have a common explanation to everybody else about what's appropriate for them in their business.
Sure. Jason? I just want to second that. Like, you know, the fact that there are so many organizations out there and we're not working together, you know, it is really confusing, especially as, you know, companies move away from a requirement of you know, SCUDI or SMPTE, and they're moving into the streaming world, and there are no standards, there's nothing to govern anything. People don't know what to do. And so I think getting all the organizations to work together, I mean, I'd love to, you know, a year from now, I'd love to see that, where there's a, you know, coalition of SDOs, you know, really working towards creating a hierarchy or some sort of map of all these specifications that, it, you know, you need to implement this here and this here and this here and this here, and people have a roadmap. They understand what to do.
I think a year from now, we'll be issuing recommendations for cloud security in line with what the Europeans have done. And hopefully, like the other two documents I mentioned, that'll become a world standard. NAVA might also consider having another symposium. I know that's being discussed at the board level. A recent issue that came up in my technical committee was the concept of content authentication. With the advent of deep fakes and other technology like AI, how do you know what content you're getting is real coming into a newsroom? Journalists have to make these decisions to either publish them or not. And when you couple that with internet trolling, you have a situation where what is true may not be true, and what is real may not be real, and the ability to manipulate audiences is massive. So that's a major concern within NAVA right now, and I'm sure others in the industry.
And we've got a great speaker, Noni De La Peña, is talking about deepfakes later in the afternoon. I also was very judicious with the bully pulpit, because we will be talking about the Trusted Partner Network later today. I'll be on the CEO of that initiative. That's joint initiative with CDSA and the MPAA. I think you'll be very interested to learn about the standard mapping that we've done with the major cloud service providers, and also our roadmap for releasing our next phase, which has to do with application and cloud security. We started in site security just a year ago from here. So I think there's going to be a great update in the afternoon around that, and I certainly did want to dominate the time with these fine gentlemen on this panel. Let's give them all a round of applause. Thank you so much.